scriptures didn't change, but I'll try to use it again. And we've been looking at the book of John from chapter 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 12 and 19. And this morning, early worship service, we'll look at Luke chapter 24 and look at the resurrection part of Luke. Now, today is our last series, our Lent series on the book of John, which is chapter 20. It's quite a long story, but I would like to make it short, if I can. And I'd like to read the whole chapter, but I will skip in the middle, which is verse 19 through 29. So I'll be reading 1 through 18 and skip middle part and then move to verses 30 and 31. That will be our text today. And our text is found from the Pew Bibles, 1153. Before we read the Bible, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for telling us about this wonderful story, the story of Jesus Christ, who is the Savior of the world, who conquered death, and who resurrected from the dead, and who gave us new life. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for giving us another day, another Easter Sunday we will celebrate, and we will look at the scripture again. Heavenly Father, we ask for your guidance and your enlightenment today with your Spirit, so that we will be bringing our hearts only to you, not something else, not speculating, not doubting, not wondering, but only to you because of the faith that we have given from you. As I'm going to deliver your word to your people, would you please bless me so that we will be in your mercy and grace all together. We pray all these things, your Son in Jesus Christ. Amen. This is the word of God, verse 1 through 18, chapter 20. Now, on the third day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, and he saw the linen clothes lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen clothes lying there, and a face cloth which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside of the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head, one at the feet. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they had laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. Let's move to verse 30. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Amen. This is the word of God. As I told you already, we've been looking at the book of John, and I'm trying to help you to remember all the things that we have heard over the weeks. And for those of you who come to our church for the first time, you don't know what happened to here. So in order to understand our text today, we have to go back to our previous sermons a little by little. I'm not going to preach 40 minutes each sermons, and I'm going to hold you for all the day long. So this is our messages that we have heard from book of John. We look at John chapter 1, which is John the Baptist. And John chapter 1 verse 9 is about the Lamb of God. John the Baptist was talking about the Lamb of God, the Passover Lamb, which is Jesus Christ, to the people, and recognize that he is the one who can save the world, save the people from their sins. We talked about it, John chapter 1 and John chapter 2, wedding at Cana, and we listened to the wonderful story of how Jesus changed the water into wine. That's an amazing thing. At the same time, we look at the servants who obeyed what Jesus said to them. That was an amazing story that we remember that how they obeyed. We remember that no one knew what happened, but the servants, they knew what happened. And in chapter 3, we look at Nicodemus. He came to the Lord Jesus Christ because he was wondering about him. He was one of the Sanhedrin members. Sanhedrin members is about 71 people, leaders of the Jewish people. But he came to Jesus by night and asked him questions. Then Jesus said lots of things, but John chapter 3 and verse 3, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Jesus knew that Nicodemus was looking for the kingdom of God. And Jesus knew that Nicodemus believed that he can enter to the kingdom of God because he's a Jew, but he's saying, no, that's not true unless one is born again. So Jesus explained the meaning of born again of the chapter 3. But we found out that Nicodemus disappeared from the story. And then we met him again yesterday, Friday night, when we looked at John chapter 19, he came back to Christ when he died. So we know that Nicodemus, he didn't understand the Lord Jesus Christ for the first time. He was wondering about. He was very skeptical. But at the very end of Jesus' ministry, he became one of students that we heard about him. And John chapter 4, we met the lady, the Samaritan lady. John chapter 4, if someone asks me which part of the Bible you like, I will say John chapter 4 is my famous chapter because it tells about a lady who was abandoned, who was looking for the truth and very thirst and looking for something to fill her heart. She couldn't find anything, but Jesus came to her and Jesus talked about eternal life. John 4 and 14. "Whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. So amazing thing happened to her. She realized that Jesus was the Messiah. In the process of their conversation, she was very skeptical. She was criticizing Jesus Christ and arguing with him. Who can argue with Jesus Christ? But she did. She did. She brought lots of theological questions and historical questions to challenge Jesus Christ. Eventually, she met the Lord Jesus Christ. And she went back to the city. No one liked her. That was a shame to meet people out there for her. But she went there and she shared the gospel. And she became the first missionary to the Samaritans. And the Samaritan people believed in Jesus Christ. That was an amazing story. We also look at John chapter 12. It's about people who welcomed Jesus Christ as their king, the king of Israel. They say, King of Israel, Hosanna, Hosanna. John chapter 12, verse 13. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and crying out, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. We learned that they wanted their own king. They wanted the king who can save them from the Romans, renew their country again. But once they found out that Jesus was not able to do that, they changed their mind. And John chapter 19, we heard that they said, the same group of people, crucify him, crucify him. In John chapter 19, we met Pilate and the religious leaders and the crowd. In 19 and 5, so Jesus came out wearing the crown of the thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, Behold the man. They're presenting Jesus Christ to the man, this man, literally, this is the man. That's what Greek said. This is the man mocking Jesus Christ, ridicule him. Look at him. He's bleeding. He's dying. Do you think that he's the king of Jews, king of Israel, mocking the people? And then people, the crowd in the story, they said, we don't need him. We don't have any king anymore. We have a king Caesar. He's our king. So crucify him. Crucify him. Now all the stories from John chapter 1 and John chapter 19, we see we meet many people, many group of people. And all these stories, it's complicated their lives and stories. All the stories are leading us to today's text, which is John chapter 20. We have to be able to see that all these stories are connected, John chapter 20, and which is the resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. In our text, John chapter 20, we will meet a couple of peoples, you know. Like other stories that we looked at, we will see Mary in the story, and we will see John and Peter. Now our scene is like this. Mary's visit. In other gospels, you know, said that she went with other ladies, other Mary and other ladies. And from her name, Mary Magdalene, we know that she came from Magdala, the city, the northwest shore of the Sea of Galilee, probably about 7 and 8 miles from Capernaum, southwest of Capernaum. She came to the tomb. And in our text, even other texts, Matthew and Luke, and says that she came to the tomb very early in the morning when it was still dark. We came to church when it was dark today. I came to church when it was a little bit dark. And then she knew where Jesus was laid based on chapter 19. She was there at the crucifixion and she remembered and people laid Jesus Christ. So she came to the tomb to find out what's going on. And John says here in our text, Mary Magdalene came alone. But in a later, she said, we, in verse 2, we, that indicates that she came with other ladies. But John, in our text, says she came alone. Now, first time she came, she was very surprised. She did not expect something to happen, but she wanted to see something, like the tomb was there, and based on other gospels, to do some Jewish stuff. Then she was very surprised because that's our text that in verse 1, the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Now, it's not a big stone, but it's a little bit hard for somebody to roll and move away. And from that sense, in the verse 1, we see that something happened to Jesus Christ. And I title that one is an evidence of his resurrection. The stone was rolled away in verse 1. And she was surprised. And the first time she thought that somebody must have stolen the body. The body is gone. And she did not look at inside. She was very afraid, I guess. And it was still dark and couldn't see anything. So she ran to the disciples in our text, and Peter and John, and report that the stone was rolled away. That was the first evidence. Now, people said that there is no resurrection, but the Bible clearly says that the stone was rolled away. That was the first evidence that she reported to the disciples. In verse 3, it says, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. Based on what she said, we know that she didn't have any idea about the resurrection. She thought that someone stole the body. And we know that there was kind of a common things at the time. People stole that body and the belongings. And here she said again, we, that means another ladies. Robbing a tomb was sometimes happen at the time, we know that. And that's emergency situation. Their Lord, their teacher, Jesus Christ, was gone. Someone came and stole the body. So she had to report to the disciples. If then, they have to go and find who did it. They have to find Jesus Christ, the dead body. So she came to Peter and John. That's interesting. Based on our text, John came first. And Peter second. And the interesting thing is John arrived first, but he didn't go in. But he saw the linen strips in verse 5. That's the second evidence. He saw that linen strips inside. Now I guess it was already sun rose and he was able to see, but he did not go in. I don't know why, maybe he felt a little bit afraid, but he decided to wait Peter, his brother Peter, one of the disciples, come to see. And then later on, Peter came, and we know him. As soon as he arrived, he get into the tomb. We see that his nature, you know, we know about Peter, his nature is very quick and impulsive. Matthew chapter 16, when everybody saying different things about Jesus Christ, Peter said, this is amazing, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He confessed that Jesus was the Son of the living God. And in Mark chapter 14, and when Peter saw Jesus Christ walking under water, and then he said, Lord, if it is you, and command me to come to you on the water. Now, 12 disciples, they were looking at, oh, my Lord, you are now walking on the water. But Peter here, he's asking, I want to do that. And the same Peter in Matthew chapter 26, three times he said, I don't know you. I don't know that guy. Lord Jesus Christ. And he cried. So we see his characteristics, his nature. So as soon as he arrived at the tomb, he could not wait. Like John. John was waiting outside. He just got into there. Now, this is very interesting, the opening, the tomb was not high. It's about, based on the historical text, it's not higher than like a yard. So the people had to bend down to get inside, which is our text in 20 verse 5. That's what Peter did. So inside, Peter found the tomb was empty. The first evidence was someone rolled the stone. Yes, something happened to the body. That's one evidence. The second evidence the Bible gives us is that there's nothing there. Now, daylight, enough daylight to be there, so he was able to see inside. And they found the strips of linen. Now, let's talk about that one. Strips of linen. That is very expensive at the time. So in case, if someone like a grave robbers came to the stole the body, certainly they would not have left that one. Linen strips, very expensive, wrapping the body, those things right there, and only body? No, that's not. So in that case, we can understand, okay, this is not someone came and stole the body because the linen strips are there. That means something happened to Jesus Christ that we don't understand. So linen strips was an evidence that the body was not simply removed by someone. And evidence three, that the face cloth. We know the Lazarus story who came out of the tomb. He was still wearing his grave clothes. That's what happened. Now here, Jesus' resurrection body tells that his face cloth still there means apparently he passed through the linen wrapping, which is very expensive, just through that, and he rose again. Now the cloth here, that means face cloth means just wrapping his head to hold his head. And in verse 7, interestingly, said it folded up in a place by itself. So it proves again the expression folded up means rolled up. It's automatically. It means somebody did it. Now exactly what that means is Jesus Christ went through that the linen strips laid there. So cloth was still there in the exact same position as when Jesus' body had been wrapped in it. That's what Peter found. Wow. Got into the tomb. Look at the scene. He was not there. But linen cloth and the faith cloth there. So the conclusion was that, okay, not by grave robbers or somebody like other disciples took the body of Jesus Christ, but surely something happened to the body of Jesus Christ. You know, someone came inside of tomb, just unwrapped his body and just wrap it again, just leave it there and holding the body. That is nonsense. The linen cloth and face cloth was there. From our text, we know that he resurrected from the dead. He resurrected body apparently rose through the linen wrappings and cloth. Now, at the time, we know that sin, but at the time, two disciples, they didn't understand. Now, obvious, today in this morning, we talked about evidence that Jesus showed to his disciples, touch me and see me and let's eat together, because they didn't believe. So Jesus showed them, hey, touch me, come and touch me and see me and eat. Here, same thing. Jesus, his disciples look at the tomb was empty, someone rolled away and linen, expensive cloth and a face cloth there. So those evidences are telling that he was not there. He rose again from the death. But look at their reactions, verse 8. Verse 8 simply say, John saw everything in the tomb and believed it. So I'm going to tell you the meaning of believed it later. And then verse 9, And we see that, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Now, commentators said that John believed that something happened to Christ, but he didn't understand the resurrection part. And Peter's part, he's interesting. He came first, he looked at everything. He's the one, you are the Son of God, and I'm going to walk on the water. I don't know you. This guy, in our text said, didn't understand anything. So he went home. John did not completely understand the scripture, the meaning of the resurrection, but started to believing in something, the fact that something happened to the body of Jesus Christ. Peter was still skeptical and wondering, is that real? Now, from this story, short story, we can apply ourselves. Look at the story. We have enough evidences. We have the Bible. Bible tells about Jesus Christ from Old Testament and New Testament. And God is saying that this is my plan. We look at Isaiah, we look at Ezekiel, and we read a Psalm. We look at Hosea, and all the books over the weeks, and the Bible tells about Jesus Christ, especially Hosea chapter 6, verse 2. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up. Now, in the Old Testament, he's talking about that. The disciples knew about those teachings. And Jesus mentioned throughout his ministry, he just said again and again and again, I'm going to die, I'm going to suffer, and I'm going to die on the cross, I'll live again. Now Peter did not understand. That's not only Peter. Sometimes it will be us. We're coming to church maybe Sunday, maybe sometimes every Easter service and Thanksgiving and Christmas Sundays. And we hear the gospel of Jesus Christ who can transform our sinful life into holy people. We hear many times, but still we're thinking, is that possible? Look at the disciples. Jesus Christ showed them all the evidences he had. They still didn't believe. It tells us something. We talked about that one. That is faith. We talked about it in the morning. Faith that God has given to us, that makes us true to believe. That's God's gift. Do we believe the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Or do we not? When they home, you know, they went back to home. The sin is end. The first sin is end. Now, Mary came back to the sin. That's interesting part. Mary returned to the tomb. She couldn't go home. Two disciples just simply, oh, empty, gone, something happened. Let's go home. Let's forget about it. But this lady came back to the tomb. And our text says that she wept. And now she's so inside of the tomb, empty tomb. Now she wept not because he died, but his body was completely gone. And that is a horrible thing that she could not imagine. Crucifixion, and something happened to my Lord. So she was weeping, and weeping, and from a horrible sin, and she was weeping and crying at the sin, our text leading us. Because this book is written for Christians. So as we are reading this sin, why she's weeping, and this story is leading you and me to hope. Now she's weeping hard because Lord is not there, but the story is moving to the hope. That is verse 12 and 18. The conversation with the two angels. All of a sudden she found angels in there. Now, the scene recalls the synoptic, you know, Gospels from Mark 16. It says young man, and in Luke 24, it says two men and flashing cloth. And Matthew 28 says it's white as snow. So we know that there are angels. So their conversation is very interesting. When they came, when Mary saw them, they asked her questions, three questions. But the first one is verse 13. Why you are weeping? Now the question contains lots of things. Why? Did you really know that what happened to the Lord Jesus Christ? Did you really believe that? So that's what the angel is trying to say. But Mary's answer is, no, someone stole my Lord, but the body of Jesus Christ. So later on, verse 15, all of a sudden in the scene, Jesus Christ came to the scene. The same question now Jesus asked her, why are you weeping? Because the first answer was not the right answer. The angel asked her, she said the body is gone. So Jesus Christ appeared. Now the body is right now in front of you. Now Jesus is asking the question, why are you weeping? So, she did not recognize him. No faith. In 1 Corinthians 15 says it's about foolish. I agree. The body of Jesus Christ is in front of you, but you don't recognize him. That's foolish. So now Jesus is asking the third question in our text. Says, whom are you looking and seeking? Are you really looking for me standing in front of you, or are you looking for somebody? Then at the same time, he's inviting her to open her eyes. Hey, come on, open your eyes and look at me. Are you looking at me? Are you looking for me, Mary? I am with you. Can you see me? This is a great moment that Jesus is inviting her to the scene that, come on and see me, I am with you. And she thought that he was a gardener. Now, this is amazing. When she thought that he was a gardener, Jesus said, finally, just one thing he did, just calling her name in verse 16, Mary. Can you imagine that moment? The moment that when she recognized the voice of Jesus Christ, when he used to call her Mary. I thought about that particular scene. It's kind of goosebumping moment. Yes, when Jesus calls my name, James, yes, that is the moment. When he calls your name, that is the moment. Now she realized that he's not dead. All the things, the stone was rolled away, and linen strips there, and the face cloth there. Everything tells that, yes, he's not there. He's in front of me. I was looking for something, but he's right now. So she called him Rabboni, my teacher. Now definitely, think about all the sins. She thought that the body was gone. Now all of a sudden, Jesus appeared in front of her. What she can do is just try to grip him. Don't go anywhere. Now, while you are here, Lord, so try to hold him hard. If he was a Jesus, I don't want to lose him again. So holding really hard, probably we can imagine that. So Jesus said, don't do that. Don't worry. I'm not going to go anywhere, but I'm with you. But this is time not worrying about that. But this is time for joy and celebration. This is time for sharing the good news. And verse 17, Jesus says, do not cling to me. Okay, I'll be with you. For I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. I read a couple of books about this section, verse 17, and all of them say that this is the most difficult thing in the New Testament. So I decided not to go into that discussion. That's so difficult. I read a couple of things. But the thing here, point is that, all right, I am with you, Mary. I am not going somewhere. I am the real Jesus Christ. Don't worry. But I remind you what you have to do at this moment when you witnessed the resurrected body, the body of Jesus Christ, you have to go and tell to my brothers. Chapter 20, verses 30 and 31 tells why. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. Verse 31, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. The reason Jesus Christ appeared in front of Mary who was weeping and who was looking for something, the reason is that simple. Mary, I'm with you. Go and tell. The Mary was, that is a shocking news. Think about that. Not the disciples. The Mary was the first reporter of the tomb was empty. For 3 years, they've been following all the way, but they were not at the scene. The Mary was the first eyewitness of the risen Christ. Now here, Mary was the first evangelist carrying the joy of the good news to the disciples. Go to the disciples, share that the resurrection of Jesus Christ. She was the first evangelist. So by reading all the story in chapter 20, we see that she was the most blessed woman in the world. She got everything. And by what Jesus said, go and tell, we can participate that blessing as well. All the story now, come to us. As what Jesus said to Mary, we are the ones who must go and proclaim to the world about the empty tomb, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which is the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ should be proclaimed through you and through me, through our church. Throughout our stories in chapter 1 and 2 and 4 and 12, we see that everyone was looking for something. They were looking for something, thirsty. John the Baptist was looking for the Lamb of God waiting for him. The guest at the wedding feast was looking for wine, new wine. But there was no wine, the symbol of joy. But Jesus brought the symbol of joy. Nicodemus was looking for the truth. He wanted to know about the truth. The Samaritan lady was looking for something to make her happy and fill her heart with something, but she couldn't find. The crowd in Jerusalem, they were looking for the King of Israel. Now Mary, in our story, was looking for the dead body of Jesus Christ. Now my question to you is, whom are you looking for today? My question for you is, thirsty? Your spirit, your inside of you, something not satisfied? Something is missing? That's why you're trying to get something? That's why you try to achieve something? Is your heart still wanting something? But listen what Jesus said to her. He called her name Mary. Jesus calls your name today too. through our scripture, our text, He is calling your name. He is calling my name to open our hearts, to open our minds to see the resurrected body, James. So come to Jesus. He is our only hope. He is something that only we can find, only who can satisfy our soul. He is our true hope who suffered and died for our sin, in the place of our sins. He is our hope that who resurrected, who conquered death, no more death ruling us. He died on the cross to give you and me new life. Not only new life, that is, Bible says, eternal life. And John chapter 4 said, that's living water from you. That's why I'm doing here today the same thing. Go and tell you about the resurrected Christ. Yes, He is risen. Indeed, He is risen. Whether you will believe it or not, it is true. We have all the evidences we have. In John chapter 20 and verse 21. And Jesus says to His disciples, now I am sending you. At the beginning of our worship service, I said that our faith is rooted in His resurrection. And we know that 1 Corinthians 15, without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our faith is nothing. We don't have to do like this. Without resurrection, maybe we're wondering about, oh, okay, after die and my death, where we are going. And we can think about that. But because of the resurrection, we have hope in God. Now the same God is sending you and me to the world. And Job chapter 14 and 7, the verse is really tiny, but I'm going to read it to you. Job chapter 14 and 7. For there is hope for a tree. If it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that its shoots will not cease. Cross is our hope. Romans 6:9 says the same thing. We will be raised like Him, our Lord Jesus Christ. That is our hope. Brothers and sisters, we heard a story. Story of two disciples. Story of Mary. They were all looking for something. Mary found something. The resurrected Jesus Christ. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Now we know that Christ will come again. He is only your hope. Don't go somewhere. Come to Christ. And go to the world and tell about His resurrection. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for our journey to the cross through our Lent series. Thank you for telling us about many people, those who are looking for something, but they couldn't find anything. Here we meet Mary. Finally, she met the Lord Jesus Christ. When she heard her name, by Jesus calling her name, Lord, this is the moment that we are opening our hearts as you are calling our names. Help us to recognize our Master's voice, that we will follow you. Help us to surrender ourselves. Whether we lived a sinful life, whether we lived different lifestyles, that we want to give our life to you. We want to do it again with you, Lord. Bless us and help us. We believe that Jesus Christ, He is risen indeed. He is risen. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.